Planning on working in another country? Then this is the series for you. Working Abroad with me, Susan Fern, and our regular cultural expert, Richard Cook.
Hello.
Today, all those things you say and do without words. Yes, we're looking at the hidden world of non-verbal communication. But Richard, what exactly do we mean by non-verbal communication?
Well, it includes quite a lot of things. The first thing is what we call proximity. In other words, how close people would stand next to each other or in front of each other when they're talking. Secondly, we're looking at eye contact, how much eye contact is normal, how much we would break it. And thirdly, touching. Is any touching allowed in this particular culture, or some touching of the arm? Is there a difference between the genders as well? So those are some of the things.
So closeness, eye contact and physical contact,
yeah.
The three main dimensions.
You can get into difficult or embarrassing or even worse situations if you're not aware. Eye contact, tone of voice, how close you can stand, any touching, how many times you kiss, a long handshake, a short handshake, it can go on and on and on. So I think, yes, you do need to get these correct and you need to have good observation skills.
Should you be trying to replicate these behaviours even though you're not used to them, or might you just come across as awkward or a little strange?
I think you've got two things to think about. I personally don't fully endorse the concept of when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Why not?
I don't think people expect you to completely adopt all of the things that they do. What I think people would like is that you acknowledge it, you understand it, and you do your best. One of the things you can do is actually explain to the other culture. You say, well, you know, actually, we don't normally kiss in my culture, so it's a bit awkward, but, you know, but then do your best. So it's a learning process, and it also tests you as an individual, as the person coming into the culture, on your level of ability to deal with new things, new behaviours. So that's the test for you. Are you one of those people who can adopt new behaviours, try things out?
It's testing your own flexibility.
Absolutely.
As much as anything else.
Yeah.
What about in companies? I mean, if you're going to do business in Japan, for example, should you be learning to bow at the right level and get that exactly right? Will it help you to win business?
Two things are important here. First of all, if you're in a sales position, if you're actually selling or promoting or presenting your company, then it's absolutely crucial that you do your homework, that you know how you're going to be experienced and you know what the norms and the rules are on the other side. Having said that, you need to find out what the local culture will expect of you as an outsider.
So what you're saying there is that in business it's often a two-way process with both sides trying to make some kind of adjustments. You mentioned proximity there, and this whole idea of closeness, nearness, how close you can stand to somebody when they're having a conversation, that's a very interesting one, isn't it?
Well, it's an interesting and serious one, because if you're having a conversation with somebody, you need to feel comfortable if you're going to be talking to them and getting information or sharing. An example, according to the experts, that in Asia, the usual distance between two people is 3.5-4 feet. Now, that's quite a big gap.
That's quite far apart.
Yeah, I suppose if you think about bowing, there's a space there for bowing into. But then if you take a culture like Spanish or Latin, the typical distance between two people there is between 12 and 18 inches.
So that's much, much closer. I mean, I saw a very interesting conversation once between a Colombian boy and a Japanese girl. And the Japanese girl was moving away because she was presumably trying to find her own comfort space.
That's right. She was trying to get comfortable so she could have the conversation, as was the Colombian, who wanted to move closer in order for him to be comfortable. The result is a very strange sort of dance of one person moving backwards and the other person continuing to move forward.
And presumably one person feeling rejected and the other person feeling threatened.
Yeah, exactly. The Colombian will feel rejected and the Japanese person will feel threatened. And there's not much you can do about that until you have some understanding of what's going on.
So it's again a question of awareness.
Yeah.
So finally then, Richard, what advice have you got overall today?
I think the main thing is that you need to focus on understanding the other culture's rules, their norms, their ways of doing things. Not necessarily conceding to them, but certainly understanding and working with them.